I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. I've got an interesting story to share with you today, and I know I say that a lot, but I'm always intrigued by people that are willing to come forth and share an aspect of their life that puts them under a microscope and scrutiny and cynicism, but they feel the compulsion to tell their story and get it out there anyway. I think these people are brave, they're heroes, they're allowing others to know they're not alone in what they face in their lives. The book is called Chosen, Chronicles of an Alien Abductee. Byron Lacey will be our guest today. Can you imagine the helplessness, the fear that a five-year-old would feel when he's first visited by extraterrestrials? How about the look on his parents' faces when he confesses his alien encounters? Well, Chosen, Chronicles of an Alien Abductee is Brian Lacey's firsthand account of what modern science insists is only folklore. Byron, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, David.
This is a remarkable story. I won't jump right into this and get going. Now, this age of five, was this the first real awakening you had to the fact that you were not alone and that something or someone was visiting you?
Yes, at 5 years old. And I didn't understand what it was or what was going on until 2009, even though I had tons of really strange things happen to me.
All right, well, let's start then. At the age of five, what are your first memories of these visitations?
Mom would always put me to bed. She'd walk me to the bedroom, tuck me in, and then leave. One night, she walked me into the bedroom, tucked me in. I watched her leave the room. She left the door open at my request to let a little bit of light in from the hallway. And I turn around, there are three little guys standing at the foot of my bed on the side. I could see them from their shoulders up. This was in 1955, and the bed I was in was even older, so it was a very tall bed. It wasn't like the ones we have now. And so the guys were about four feet tall, and I yelled for Mama because I didn't know how they could be in my room, and I didn't know what they were. Well, she came in, and of course they were gone. So she just tucked me in. She didn't say anything about them, and she left. The next night, the exact same thing happened. And then the third night...
Well, now, one second, Byron. Were these creatures still in your room when your mother came to visit?
No. I'm sorry. They had disappeared before she got into the room.
So when you would call out for Mama... Right, when you would call out... Would these beings fade away? Would they just suddenly be gone? How can you explain that to us?
They'd just be gone. Actually, usually I would look at the door waiting for her to get there. And when she got in, when I looked back around, they were gone. The third time she came in the room, they weren't there. And she sat down on the edge of the bed and put her head on top of my head. And she said, "Son, don't call me in here anymore because they're not going to be here when I come in the room." thoughts, and you're going to have to learn to deal with them yourself. Then she tucks me in, and I always had to push the covers off because I get real hot easily. So, but anyway, she started tucking me in. I watched her leave the room, and I turn around, and there they are again. They're there. And also this time I can see over to my left in the corner of the room where it's not quite as bright because the only light was coming from the hallway is this guy that's about 7 feet tall. And he looked like Captain Hook
from Peter Pan.
Story.
Yeah, Peter Pan, sure.
Yes, Peter Pan. That word just flew right out of my head. He looked like Captain Hook. And this was one of my favorite little books that I had was Captain Hook, and we had seen the movie, and I loved pirates. I loved pirates for many years. So in my estimation, and with what I learned in 2009 after that, he was just trying to show me an image that wasn't as frightful to me because from everything I could tell now, that was a giant mantis that was in my room looking like Captain Hook. Well, he started to sort of dance around, but not to any music, and he moved in a really weird way. That's why I think I called it dancing. And I suddenly could not move. And my bed started to slowly rotate in the center of the room, even though it had been up against a wall, or the head of it had been, and the room was bigger, and all of a sudden I was getting ready to panic about being unable to move. I tried to look at my hands, and I could see that I wasn't tied down, even though I felt like I was. Just about the time I was really getting ready to get upset, they were gone. They were just gone. The room was a normal size. And I pulled the covers over my head. I knew not to call Mom back in the room because they were pretty serious when they gave me a direct order. So,
and
I pulled
your mom,
the covers over my head.
Let me ask you, Byron, when your mom said you're just going to have to, they're going to keep disappearing every time I come in the room, was she placating you? Was she just, you know, trying to give in? Okay, sure, you're seeing things, but every time I come here, they're not here, so just stop calling me. Or was she acutely aware that there was something going on? But she was just trying to teach you. Oh, she was. Okay.
See, my parents, they didn't do stuff like that. They were very direct. In fact, my father was raised by, when he was born, his father was over 50 years old. So he was raised by the generation that children are to be seen and not heard. And they didn't really try to save our feelings a lot of times about things. They would just tell us the truth as they saw it. So, no, she knew. And from things that happened later in my life, I began to understand even more and more that she knew.
And this direct order that these beings barked out at you, was this something that came from their mouths? Was it something that you felt was being projected into your head? How can you explain that to us?
It would be projected into my head. Their mouths didn't move. The funny thing about one of them is he kept changing. Like he looked like he was a rag doll 4 feet tall for a minute. Then his eyes would sort of almost move around his face. And I think that he was trying to do some kind of illusory thing to me too, but it just really wasn't coming through. And I was paying more attention to Captain Hook at that point anyway.
Right, and this Captain Hook you've come to understand was more of a mantis-like creature, but back then it had a look like Captain Hook to you.
Right, and in fact, the mantis has this large head that I can see how it easily transposed into being a pirate hat.
Right, sure.
And they wear a cape, I mean a robe, but what I saw him wearing was a sort of a loose poet shirt or pirate shirt with a vest that would fan out a little bit around the waist, and then I couldn't really see his legs anyway.
With this visit that you had and these, you know, this kind of new rule that's been enforced, and you're a very little kid, how are you dealing with this and not, you know, I mean, you know, little kids, 5, 6, 7 years old, you see things like this. These are kind of the monsters of dreams, you know, nightmares for many people. How are you not losing your mind, you know, about what's going on there?
Well, I, my main coping mechanism from then on was to always make the make sure the closet door was closed. And I did that until I was in my late 30s, early 40s, and to cover my head, because my thought was, they're probably going to come back, and I don't want to know anything about it. So I just covered my head.
Now,
I still do.
Isn't that weird? Don't you think that's strange, right? These beings, whether they're traversing the galaxy or parallel dimensions, they can't get through a closet door or through a blanket.
Yeah, I know. I was only 5.
Right. No, I understand that. But isn't that funny that it's why do you think there is some magic principle to that? Was it because you were setting a form of intention and drawing a line in the sand that was keeping it? Or do you believe that you were being abducted, only you just didn't know it any longer?
Right. They can wipe wipe my memory all the time. I find marks once a month, but I don't necessarily remember it. When they want me to remember it, then they don't wipe my memory. And in my opinion, some people say they pray or something to try and get them to go away, and they go away. Well, yeah, they go away, but they've already done what they wanted, and they wiped your memory. So you don't know they did anything.
And when
they can pretty much get you inside of a steel box.
All right, so then here's the question. Why wipe your memory sometimes and not others? Why would they want you to remember parts and not other parts?
I think that all has to do with why I'm sent here. I'm one of them.
All right, so you're alien, or do you believe that you are a hybrid of an alien and a human species?
I call this a soul hybrid. And because my body, although I'm sure it's been adjusted and fixed, it's a human body. My parents are both humans. There's no telling what they've done to it, though. And I was in 2015, I was taken into another dimension by them and told a little bit of stuff, but actually, let me backtrack a minute. I got in touch with a psychic in England the year before, one that reads for some guy whose name I can't remember. Anyway, he's a writer, and I had gotten her name out of his book, and he writes a lot about conspiracies and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, she did a reading for me, and she sends it to you. You answer a bunch of questions, give her information, and she sends you your reading. And over the year, that reading, everything in it but one thing had happened. And I thought, since she was so accurate on everything else, I should actually look into this last thing. And the last thing was in the reading, she said, "Now, you may find this funny, but you're one of them," in a sort of a British tone, because she's British. And so I lay down to meditate, and I started thinking about this. And I started looking at it from all different aspects. Like, I thought about the fact that as an alien, I might be pretty ugly, and it might gross me out. Then I realized if I was, it wouldn't bother me, because I would be born or created that way. So at one point, suddenly, I accepted the information, because I realized I've never fit in here on Earth. Just all kinds of things that I went over. And I've accepted it intellectually and emotionally. And at that point, it felt like two fingers reached into my head from the back base of my skull, took hold of me, and pulled me out of my body. Now, my ego did not go with me, and in fact, it was sitting there going, you know how your ego can chatter. And it was going, I want to go too. I want to go too. And I said, I don't think you're going to get to. And it's not up to me. At that point, I was in this infinite space.
Well, isn't the ego part of who we are? So were they splitting your consciousness? Part of you was, or let me ask this. Maybe this is the way to pose this. Is it that your human spirit stayed behind, but the hybrid, the alien spirit that shared your physical form was the part that they removed?
The ego is a physical manifestation in the frontal lobe. It is programs or circuits in your brain, some of them very small, some of them very large. Every like and dislike has a small section in there, a circuit. A larger circuit can also encompass several small ones and bring them all about. And most everything in the ego is from outside of us. And the ego, when it talks, it always says, I. We, our true self, is what listens to the ego. It's very passive most of the time. And most people, they don't even realize it's there because this voice is going, I. And they think that that's them because that's what it's trying to do. That's how it gets its energy. So you could say they pull the observer out, the essential me, which is also called the soul. And that is what listens to the ego talk. So, yes, they split me into the physical and the non-physical and removed the non-physical.
And when you left, where was it that they took you? Did they take you to another planet? Did they take you to another universe, another dimension? How can, you know, what's the best way to kind of explain that to us?
It was another dimension, and it was infinite emptiness, blackness, but you could see. And then in front of me was this this geometric pattern that seemed to be made out of lines of light, like neon tubes, but they weren't neon. It's just the easiest way to describe it, that went up and down as far as I could see, and from side to side as far as I could see. And there were three men in three thrones sitting in front of this wall, and they also were made out of light. And the thrones were made out of light. But I could tell if they stood up, they would have been 7 or 8 feet tall.
And what kind of sense were you getting? Could you physically feel things? Could you feel a tingle? Could you feel metal? Could you feel air? What was the physical aspect of this encounter?
At first, I could feel nothing, but I had the sense of myself as being like a very small sphere. And I probably had 360-degree vision, but it was I couldn't bring that back with me and process it. And when I got there, the first thing I heard was the Council of Three. It was like it was an announcement. And then one of them said, we've been waiting for you to realize this. We're very proud of you. And then this wind of love started blowing through everything. And it was the most wonderful feeling. And in fact, in some ways, I did not want to leave. Then the sound started that reminded me of a dial-up when you were trying to get on the internet with a dial-up phone, all these noises, except it was pictures, words, and it was just pouring in so fast, I couldn't really grasp it much. There was a message that came through when all this was over with that said, the interest on loans are the chains of your slavery. Get out of debt. And I worked for years to get out of debt. But anyway, after this happened and it stopped, and the wind was still blowing, I start moving. I can feel myself moving backwards, and I know that I'm moving towards my body. And over to my right, I see this shape coming at me. And as it gets closer and closer, it looks like me, but cut out with a, like a flat cutout of me made out of fog or plasma. So it was like a giant cookie of me, but it was this ephemeral stuff. And it came closer and closer to me. And just as I was sliding into my body, it slid into it with me. And later I realized, and then also two different psychics told me, that they had given me more of my higher self, because part of me was alive in the other dimension, even while I'm here on Earth. And I would need more of my higher self to be able to do what I needed to do.
And you're hearing this, even though you're experiencing this, you're hearing these words, you're hearing this, this, you know, dictation of what you're to do. Is it hard to accept? Were you kind of like, what the hell is going on? Or was it something that just was like, oh, this is just a part of who I am and what my life is. I just need to do this.
I thought first that it was really strange, definitely. But by then, I already knew I was being abducted. I've been on a ship and been allowed to remember. I'd talked to them and knew all of that. I talked to them psychically many times, and usually not about anything important at all. But so it actually made me really happy, the experience did.
And did it give you a sense of purpose? And like there was some, you were part of something greater? Or, you know, I'm just trying to get a grasp, because most of us have never had this kind of experience. We have nothing to relate this to.
Yes, I'm trying to get my thoughts right, but yes, it did give me a sense of purpose, but suddenly I felt like I knew where my home was. That was the most profound experience for me personally, was, hey, these are actually my people, and when I'm around them, I feel it, and this is where I come from, and this sort of explains a lot of things to me about my own personal self.
Now, when you and look back, and you look back real quickly, going back to childhood from that time of five on, you would close the closet door, you would keep the blankets up over your head. During that time, did you feel separated from these beings? Did they continue to allow you to know that you were being visited, or were they protecting you?
I didn't know anything about them again. They started doing things, especially after I moved away from home. They did some things while I was at home. Like when I was 11, I was outside with a class. I'll just tell the story. I was in music class. I was 11 years old, and we had a substitute teacher. We were in music class. We had this substitute teacher, was this very pretty young woman that I had never seen before. She was in her 20s, it seemed. And Segaville was a very small town. You had always at least seen everybody, though you may not know them. You'd see them at the grocery store, things like that. So she wanted us to go outside because it was a warm day. Winter was pretty much over. It was still a little cool, but not bad. Well, we didn't want to go outside. We were in music class. We weren't interested in exercise, but at that time, we didn't complain. We just went with her. She stood under this giant oak tree, and we had to stand out in the sun and on this crunchy gravel drive by the school. She had us line up in about four or five lines of five people each, reach our arms out and touch our fingertips, and then move slightly away from each other. Then she had us start doing side straddle hops. All of a sudden, all of us, almost like one, we're staring at the top of the tree, because what looked like, I was very into models at that time, model ships, model everything, cars. Well, at that time, what looked like the George Washington nuclear submarine flipped upside down with the battle deck of the battleship Missouri connected to it, only all the guns were rooms. They didn't have the gun part, the barrels. It was moving over this tree, and it was huge. And we're all standing there just looking up at it like we're staring at the sun or something. And then it's gone. And she says, "That was nothing. Let's get back to work." Now, she hadn't even looked up at it, but I know she may have when we weren't looking at her. That was an odd thing for her to say. That was nothing. The ship disappeared, and the bell rang. So an hour class somehow had all taken place in 15 minutes. So there was missing time there that none of us knew was missing. We just thought it was odd that we had to go back in class. Nobody talked about it, and nobody said anything about it. And I mentioned it to my mother when I got home, and I asked her if there had been anything about UFOs on the radio. And she said, no. And then she went on cooking. So that was an interesting experience. Nobody mentioned anything about this. And last year I talked to an old classmate on Facebook.
Right.
And she told me that she had heard about it. She had not been there because she had had pneumonia that week. So she remembered everything that happened right around then. And when she got back to school, several of her friends told her about seeing the ship.
But your teacher, there was no recollection of that? Do you believe her mind was wiped?
She was gone. She was a substitute. She was there that day, and I saw her in class that day, and then I didn't see her again, and she never came back.
So do you believe she was one of the aliens then?
Yes.
Or a projection, at least, from one of the aliens?
She was either one of them or under control of one. I think she was a hybrid. She had beautiful eyes. They were regular size and everything, but I just remember she was extremely pretty. I fell in love with her right then and there.
All right. Now, you have this kind of grandiose experience with a lot of people. Nobody remembers the UFO, really, and a few people talked about it afterwards, but it was just kind of dropped. Have you connected with any of the other experiencers that were there that day to see if anybody has any memory of this?
She is the only one that has talked to me. And I even put a post telling about the whole story on a school. It wasn't run by the high school, but it was for people who'd been in high school, and nobody replied or anything. But of course they wouldn't. They wouldn't want to put themselves out there and say something so crazy as that they saw a spaceship.
Was there any kind of mocking from the fellow students regarding that, or did people just kind of ignore it?
I just never heard a single thing about it again. They ignored it.
When you look back at this, I mean, were there points that you were left in your life wondering about your own sanity?
Oh, yeah. Well, most of my life I worried about my sanity. Then I ended up being able to go to a psychologist or two, and that worked out really good for me.
How did they respond to that? When you start regaling them with a tale like that, is it something like, oh, well, Byron, here's a couple of pills. We just want you to take these to help relax. Or did they treat you with respect and belief in what you were seeing or experiencing?
Okay. We did not talk about that because, you see, up until 2009, I didn't know that I was an abductee. And all these weird things would happen to me. Like my life before just recently was saved 8 times, starting with cancer. And car wrecks, just different things. And everybody would go, oh, God must really have a plan for you, or God loves you, or boy, your guardian angels are really looking out for you, or your spirit guides are really looking out for you. But because too, when I was 24 or 25, I started doing transcendental meditation, and then I started studying metaphysics, and the things that were happening fit in an odd way. Of course, they fit into angels. They fit into spirit guides. You know, you can give them these labels, but when you finally see them and you see their ships, you know they're not any of those things. I mean, they are, but because they are my guide in my education about psychology, basically, and other things. But that's not their job. I don't know why they do that unless it's because I'm one of them. See, I was going to be a walk-in, and I pretty much agreed.
Now, explain for our listeners what you mean with the context of walk-in. Okay.
There are two ways you can come here besides the ship. But two ways you can come here as a human being. One is to be born in a human body. The other is to take a human body that somebody has, but they don't want anymore, and you just take over. And so you walk in. And when you do, you have your full knowledge, and you have all the abilities that you had before. Well, the body I'm in was going, somebody commented the other day that I sure had a lot of exit points with my body. In other words, points where I could die. The person, the being that was going to be born in this body only wanted to be here a short matter of time. They wanted to be born, live a little while, and then die and go back. Well, they decided they didn't want to come here at all. So I, who was supposed to walk in, and from what I understand, when the surgery was done in 1952, I would have been the one that woke up from the anesthesia in that body. But instead of that, they decided they didn't want to come at all, so I got to go early.
And does that, is that weird to you that your body is kind of a vessel for multiple spirits or multiple energies?
Oh, yeah. It is strange. But, you know, like our ego is not just one ego. There's hundreds or thousands of little egos inside of us. That's why one day you may want to go fishing with John tomorrow, but tomorrow you wake up and you go, why did I do that? That's the last thing on earth I want to do. It's because your ego has made a subtle change into one of the other eyes.
Okay. Wow, this is hard to wrap your head around from the outside in watching this unfold. All right, so were there ever moments where you felt threatened by these beings?
When I first found out that they were coming into my house, and that they were the ones leaving the bruises and the punctures on me, and sometimes making me feel really bad the next day, I was so bummed about it, but I knew there was nothing you could do. I mean, a friend sat me down and said, the only way you can get out of it is to kill yourself. And he wasn't encouraging me to do that, but I did think about it. And finally, I rationally thought, well, they've been doing this since I was 5 years old, and I'm still fine. In fact, they've saved my life times. And that one fact was what enabled me to accept everything.
It sounds, I get the point that they saved you. Now that you reflect back, do you think that they were actually visiting you much earlier on, but it was just 5 years old where you started having these conscious memories of them?
The two different psychics both told me, and this was without me bringing it up, without me telling them I was an abductee, but they tell me that they actually had to operate on me in vitro. They had to do something, and my mother probably had to go in the hospital for a few days, but she's dead now, and she died before this all happened, and my father died before 2009 also, so I wasn't able to ask them directly.
I'm curious if, you know, I understand you're saying psychics. For a lot of the people, the outside realm here, you know, all right, a psychic told you this. a psychic referred you to this, or a psychic gave you this kind of information, you know, that's subjective because we're still on the basis of needing to believe the unseen through the eyes of somebody who's never really been connected to you. How do you draw the line and say, you know what, this person is honorable, this person is legitimate, and I believe that the information that they're sharing with me is right?
Well, they have to be able to tell you some specific facts. They have to be able to tell me some specific facts about my life in the past. And then what they tell me has to come true. For instance, if it doesn't ever come true, you know they're not a good psychic. And I will usually give them about a year. And like I said, that other woman, Carol Clark, everything she had told me would happen, happened.
And do you believe that with that said, I mean, that everything she told you was going to happen, happened? How did she know this? Is she connected to the aliens? Is she just reading your energy? Has she ever given you any kind of definitive answer regarding that?
I've never asked her if she's an abductee, but it's entirely possible. Now, another psychic I went to for years, who never told me I was abducted or anything, she'd start these conversations about the UFOs that came to her house. And I'm going, you really do a good job, but I think sometimes you're nuts. I wasn't saying that out loud, but obviously she was picking it up. She didn't say anything else. She didn't tell me you're one of them until after I knew. So it's quite possible they are.
Right. I just wonder, because, again, if they're getting that kind of messages, and you should maybe talk to them about that, if they're not hybrids, they're not alien in nature themselves, if they start vibing in on your story and picking up on that, does that then put them in the crosshairs of alien interest? Do the aliens start visiting them because now they're aware that they're being seen and heard and know that they exist?
I don't know about that. The aliens seem to have some kind of criteria. Now, I do know there are a lot of alien souls born on Earth right now, and most of the people consider themselves to be indigos or star children or starseed. And they're here because apparently we are at a turning point in man's social, psychological evolution, or the Earth's evolution, because we all get mixed up and think the Earth is here for us, but we're here for the Earth.
For what purpose? I mean, what does the Earth need with us? We just seem to be doing damage to it, tearing it apart, oring it, mining it, polluting it. Why does the Earth need us?
Yes, what's going on now is bad. When the Earth was first conceived, planets, stars, they're not dead. Inert matter, they have consciousness, although vastly different from ours. But the planets eat food, which is emanations from other planets. And the Earth was very reflective, so it wasn't getting the nurturing it needed. So organic life was created through a series of experiments by the sun, you could say, just to put it easily, because without the sun, there wouldn't be any organic life. And we pick up the emanations, the animals, the trees, the plants, they all pick up these energies and direct them into the planet. So the planet started getting fed. In fact, I think once we move on to the moon, if we were to colonize the moon would start changing. But anyway, so that's our purpose. But now the Earth is ready for a better food than what we're giving it, because we're still, so many people are steeped in negativity. Now, I've also read that the reptilians eat negativity, that it goes to the moon. They have some kind of collecting device. I don't know if that's true or not, but I wouldn't doubt it. So now we need to change and become more highly psychologically involved, emotionally involved individuals, so that we would provide the kind of energy that the earth needs to prosper.
Have you been visited by multiple races, or is it always these guardians that seem to be around you and that mantis?
It's been the Greys, the mantis, some guys that were very short and looked sort of like bulldogs in the way that they were represented as soldiers in World War II. And they also looked a lot like these little guys that came in and got Wesley Strieber out of his room in the movie Communion. And they kept popping in and out of my room one night. Then there were the beings that are made totally out of light. And that's all I can recall right now. And the mantis, of course. And I've seen the mantis. I saw the mantis in 2009 without any disguise.
Do they seem to, does one race seem to have more control over you or more of an interest in you than the others?
Yes. In fact, I think some just drop in at random. I've been told that my energy is not normal, and it can draw attention to me from other realms, other beings.
So do you encounter other things, aside from alien races? Do you open to spirit realm, to cryptid creatures, anything like that?
Not that I don't think so. And there were two beings in my room one night, and I could only see them when my eyes were closed. This was sort of funny. It was in the 80s, and I'm meditating, and all of a sudden I feel this presence in my room, and I look over without opening my eyes, and there are two guys standing there, and they look like they're wearing spacesuits, which reminded me of the movie 2001, except the suits were a little smaller. And these guys were tall, though. They were at least 6 feet tall. And I open my eyes, and they're gone. And I close my eyes, and they're there. And one of them has this tablet that he's writing on with his finger, his gloved finger, which reminds me now of the iPad, though they didn't exist at that time. And I'm looking at him with my eyes closed, and I said, "What are y'all doing?" And he says, "We're adjusting your energy patterns." And then they're gone. They were gone with my eyes closed or with them open. Now, the next night, the next evening, I was meditating.
Oh, hold on a second. Did you just hear that?
Yeah, I did. What was that?
I don't know. It sounded like it came from your end. That sounded very much like you talked about earlier with that old dial-up sound.
That's what it sounded like to me, only I heard it from your end.
All right. That's well, somebody's listening. That's unnerving.
Yeah.
All right. Go. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Continue on, please.
Oh, the next night, it was evening, I was meditating, and I meditate with pillows over my head, laying flat on my back. Well, suddenly, two hands wrapped around my ankles and pulled me down 1 foot where my head came out from under the pillows, and I opened my eyes, and there's nobody there. Now, this was before I knew about the aliens, and the other thing I just told you was before I knew about them for sure, at all, really, or expected them. So that was a shocker. Somebody said they thought it could be a elemental, but I think it was probably them. They would do odd little things to get my attention, and I never would figure out what was going on.
All right, and do you, by any chance, do you have a bird in the background?
A dog. I'll go back in the house.
No, that's fine. I just keep hearing like a chirping noise, and I didn't know if that was something from the line or what, but I keep hearing like a bird chirping.
You're right. I can hear him too. I'm outside.
Okay.
And in the woods.
I wasn't sure. Don't get abducted during the middle of the interview here, Byron. That wouldn't be good. Let's take a quick break. We'll take time to readjust. We'll be back. We've got more to discuss here on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make. Incredible as it may seem, both the observations of science and the evidence of our eyes lead to the inescapable assumption that those strange beings who landed in the Jersey farmlands tonight are the vanguard of an invading army from
beyond the darkness.
We're back. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. Remember, if you'd like to get a copy of our guest's book, all you have to do is check out darknessradio.com, click on our killer deals link. You'll find his book, you'll find all the books that we cover on the show, DVDs, we've got some cool paranormal swag, clothing, there's even UFO and Bigfoot socks you can find on there, ghost hunting equipment, cryptid equipment, so every need you have is right there. And if there's stuff that you can't find in ours, as long as you use our link to go in, every purchase you make, a very small percentage of the sale goes directly to us. They don't add on to your sale. They just, a small portion of the sales go directly to us for bringing in the business, and that helps us defray the costs of the show. So please make sure that you sponsor or take care of our sponsors that take care of us by helping that out. And all you have to do is go to darknessradio.com, click on that killer deals link, and you'll be able to find all of those cool bits right there for you. Chosen. Chronicles of an Alien Abductee. Byron Lacey is our guest. So at the age of 5, you are aware, acutely aware, that these beings are around you. At what age did you say you were when you realized that these weren't angels, they weren't just guardians, that they were an alien race or races that were visiting you?
I was 59 years old. It happened in 2009.
And how did that shift your paradigm from believing that it were, you know, was guardian angels or something theological to something much more metaphysical and alien in nature?
Well, first I just thought that I was insane. And then I actually decided that if these guys were coming and doing stuff to me, which meant they must be getting something, because I didn't know what I was or anything like that, that a relationship should be reciprocal, that I should get something too. And what I wanted first was some definite proof for myself. I wanted objective proof, but I never could get that. I got subjective proof except for the marks. So I had played a gig at a restaurant for the first time in since I was in high school, and it was horrible. It was in a restaurant. There were only like 20 people there, but the minute I started singing, I made it through the first song, and then I started forgetting the words and having to make them up. And this guy came up from the group, and he sat down with me when I took my break, and he said, "Look, I'm going to play because I'm a guitar player. You get your words, and you just pretend we're here in your living room, and you sing the songs." And I did, and everything went good. Then I came home, and it was about 11 in the evening, and I was pretty tired. I wanted to go to bed, but I couldn't. My mind was just racing. So for the week before this happened, I paced underneath the electric lines that run through my property where there's an easement in the woods that I can walk through easily, and I said, "I want to know what y'all are doing to me." I decided I was going to talk to them because I knew they could hear me. So I started saying several different things at first, and then I narrowed it down to, "I want to know what you're doing to me." And I said it over and over. Sometimes I said it out loud. Sometimes I said it in my head. But I just kept doing it, and I was my will was set to do it for the rest of my life. That's what it took, because I figured they'd get tired of listening to me and decide to do it. Well, for 4 days, I did this 6 to 8 hours a day. And went and did the show and come home. I get into meditation, and I use a CD to meditate that puts you in a meditative state. It's just ambient music, I guess is what it would be called. There's no real pattern that you can remember. But anyway, all of a sudden, the music was gone. My breathing was gone. My heart was gone. And I actually struggled to come up just a little bit, and I saw that my body was actually still breathing. I just had no awareness of it, and I fell back in, and then I'm in a hammock. And the hammock is, and that's the best way to describe it, but it was hung from side to side instead of end to end. And you could not see out of it except at the two ends. I looked around. There were some blankets in the hammock with me. One of them looked like an old sort of dirty child's blanket with a like white velvet or whatever with little patterns of animals on it, little horses. And I put my hands up above my head and grabbed hold of the end of the hammock, and I pulled myself out, and I popped down on the floor, and I'm in this room I've never been in before, and there are three other hammocks, and it was hard for me to see the distance around me. At one point, I reached up to my face, and I realized, no, I don't have my glasses on, and then it hit me that I was in an alien ship, and I became elated. Then I heard these footsteps outside the door. I heard some noises coming from outside the door, and I went, expletive, I don't think I'm ready to see aliens right now. Then everything went black, and then back up from black, just like in a movie where it fades to black and comes back up, and I'm laying on this table, a metal table, or it felt metal, and there were three grays at the foot of the table on the side, just like they had been in 1955, which is when I started, after this is when I put those two things together. But anyway, and there was a mantis, and he was standing back from me, and he was about 7 foot tall. He looked like a praying mantis, except he was wearing a robe that covered his whole body. And a high collar on it. So you couldn't see much other than his head and his little fingers. I could see the ends of his fingers, but not much. Then I started to get upset. And I heard his voice in my head, and he said, "Do not be afraid." And I wasn't afraid. And it wasn't the words that made me not afraid. He had controlled my nervous system. He had made the fear go away. Then things shifted, and it was like I was in my bed or somewhere watching. And my friend Daryl Sims, who was the first person to investigate my case, he told me that aliens can make it where you see through their eyes. So they can change your locale of your perceptions by making you see through their eyes, and that's apparently what was going on. Suddenly the picture changed because I was looking at myself, so it was like a hologram. It changed to black and white, and it focused in on me on the table from the knees up to my neck. I couldn't see my head. I couldn't see my lower legs. I couldn't see them. And then it changed to X-ray, and I could see inside of my body. I could see my heart beating. So it was a pretty good X-ray since it would pick up soft tissue. I hadn't even thought about that. Anyway, then they showed me what they did sometimes, and they did the anal probe. And then I was awake.
Did they explain? Wait a minute. So they showed you they do the anal probes. Did they ever explain why? What is the fascination with our asses?
I don't know. No, they didn't say a word. The only thing that was said while I was there is, "Don't be afraid."
Right.
And in fact, you know, if I could have seen them in X-ray, I would have known more about them than anybody else on Earth. But they made it where I couldn't. Well, I went right to sleep, which is strange. strange. First, for a minute, I went, I was on an alien ship. And then I go to sleep. I never just go to sleep, period. It always takes me 30 minutes to an hour, sometimes 2 hours to go to sleep because it just isn't possible. Used to, I had insomnia all the time, which was even worse. But I go to sleep, except before I go to sleep, there's a piece of paper and a pencil by my bed at that time for writing anything down I might dream or anything like that. So I drew a picture of the big creature, which I knew nothing about. I'd never heard of him, never seen him, didn't know he even existed, but I drew it, and then I fell asleep. Next morning I woke up, and I'm really happy, and I go, wow, they did it. They showed me what they do. And then I started crying. And I don't know why. And I cried for about 30 minutes and I couldn't stop. And I thought, well, maybe this is unleashing something from my subconscious. So anyway, I cried for 30 minutes and then I got up and went about my day. And during the day, I found out that I liked music that I had never liked before, that I liked food that I had never liked before. I ate some Brussels sprouts at a restaurant that just happened to be on the plate.
Whoa! It is obviously alien interference then.
So it had changed my perceptions. It had broadened my ability to perceive and of what was good or bad, which are really subjective things. Somehow it knocked some of that subjectivity out of me. Well, I went over to my friend's house, the one who had told me I was an abductee, the one that I really thought he was crazy. But I knew he researched this stuff, and I would always fall asleep when he'd want me to watch some video, so I wouldn't watch him. Not on purpose, I just fall asleep. But I showed him I told him what happened, and I said, now, I drew a picture of this guy, and I'm going to show it to you, and this is probably going to prove that this is all just a dream, because I was still trying to go in and out of denial about the whole thing. And that's a phase that all abductees go through. He looks at the picture, he turns around and types up an address into his computer and pulls up a web page, and there is the same drawing, but by somebody else. And it said mantis creature. And so then I knew that this was a giant praying mantis.
And did the mantis creatures, what does their purpose seem to be? What are their intentions for us?
They're the boss of the grays. Daryl told me that a robe is a symbol of authority in their realm. So they wear robes. What little contact I've had with them, and I did get to talk to one a few times psychically, I can't remember the word. But anyway, they're really, really, really smart. I mean, they have extreme intelligence. And they also have a sense of humor, but it's a little bit sarcastic towards us.
And are they, so we've got some smart-ass aliens that are dealing with us. Is there a difference? Are you dealing with interdimensional and outer planetary aliens? Is it a mix of both? Or how do you explain that to people that are you know, we're on the outside looking in?
Well, to me, it's like the interdimensional beings, they're the ones really in charge of everything for me in my situation. But they work. They can pull me there. They can step into this dimension. In that dimension, anything you want, anything you can imagine, you can create. And you can just as quickly imagine it away. But when they move here, they become solid. When they come into this dimension, they become solid beings. And anything they've created, like a spaceship, they slide it into this dimension, and suddenly it's real and it works because it was conceived to work. They don't even have to think about all the details. So it's like magic. In fact, I think this is where we get our ideas of the astral plane, the etheric plane. These are dimensions, and the things we can do in them is what they do in their dimension.
And are they, you know, there's always, we hear from people that are abductees, and it always kind of turns into this hippy-dippy message of we all need to get along, we all need to love one another, kumbaya, let's hold hands, and soon the world will be transformed. Is that the type of message you're getting? I'm not putting it down or trying to sound sarcastic, but it just seems, you know, if they're that intelligent a species, they know that's probably not going to ever occur. So why even bother messing with us?
I've never been told that. Every interaction I've ever had with them, except for the thing about interest and the write a book, these things, has basically been about me. And some of them are so mundane. I was in a bookstore, a video store in town, and this was after I knew I was an abductee and after I had talked to them. And I'm looking for something different to watch. And I had always liked this, the cover of this movie, and I can't remember what it's about, but it's a guy trapped in a box. And basically in the movie, he's in a truck driver in the Middle East, gets kidnapped. They want the government to pay him $1 million, and they bury him in a box underground, under just a few feet, to keep him there until they're ready to do the swap. Well, I've had claustrophobia ever since 1955. So you can guess where that probably came from, being bound in my bed, even though I wasn't bound. Well, anyway, I'm looking at this box, and the cover was really nice, because they always are. And I said to myself, I think I'm going to get this. And this voice in the very center of my brain, front to back, right to left, top to bottom, the very center said, "No, don't get it." And I go, "No, I'm going to rent this movie." And it says, "You won't be able to watch it." And I suddenly go, "Oh, God, I'm in Hastings having an argument with an alien about watching a movie." And I said, "Look, I'm really glad you're looking out for me. And you might be right, but I'm going to try to watch this movie." Well, and then there was no more voice. That was it. So I take the movie home, and that night I get on the sofa, turn on the TV, plug in the movie, and it starts, and there's blackness, and the credits run some, and there's more blackness. Then you begin hearing this sound, and then this guy flips on his lighter, which is what he had with him, I think, or a cell phone, I can't remember which. He's got a light source, I think it was a lighter. He flips it on. And there he is in a box. And I go, "Oh, holy crap." And I drew my legs up on the sofa, and then I turned it off because I just couldn't watch it. I was having a panic attack from his claustrophobia. So they were right. A year later, I did watch that movie, and it turned out to be one of the best movies I've ever seen. But I had been working on non-attachment, not being attached to the emotions in songs or in television shows or even in life. And I'd succeeded to an extent. That's why I watched the movie. And it was amazing how interesting a movie that takes 90% takes place in a box could actually be.
That's weird, right? I mean, you get this sense. And I'm trying to remember, that's the one with Ryan Reynolds, right?
Think so.
Right.
I really don't remember for sure.
So you think that they were trying to warn you, "Hey, you don't want to see this because this is going to bring back memories. This is going to cause some PTSD for you."
You know, I hadn't even thought of it that way. I thought they were just knowing that my claustrophobia would be affected. But what you're saying makes more sense than just that.
Yeah, it seems, well, they are watching out for your best interests, kind of, but they continue to do this. To what end? I mean, do you feel that you're fathering new hybrids as well? Are they culling semen from you or biogenetic material to clone? What have they told you about that?
Okay, I had cancer when I was 2.5 years old. I had a sarcoma, and nobody had lived from a sarcoma. I was supposed to die, but they took out the bottom 1/3 of my bladder where it was growing, because it grew into my bladder when normally it would have just grown out into the rest of my body. The doctor was amazed that I was even alive for them to discover it. Anyway, they took out my prostate gland, so I have no semen, and I can't father children. But one day, I had this thought, and I'm going, you guys, I want some alien babies since I can't have Earth babies. Well, the next night I woke up, and there was a suction cup mark with a needle puncture in it on my scrotum. And I've got some babies somewhere.
So you got to be careful what you ask for. They have created them. Have they given you the opportunity to meet with them, communicate with them at all?
Not that I know of. See, I lead two lives. Used to it was three. One was the life I led that everything I knew about, but I didn't tell anyone. So that was a secret life. And then there's the things that I know are happening. That's another life. And then there's things that happen that I know nothing about, except I do find some marks and punctures and blood and different things like that from time to time. So I know something is going on. So that's the third life I don't even know about.
And you told them, hey, I want to have alien babies. They did it. Why don't you put your foot down and say, I want to meet my children. I need to know what you're doing to me with these, you know, times I don't remember what's going on.
I have tried that. I have tried. I've slept with a camera on in my room for a week with the lights on. I've done all kinds of things, and they did come while those cameras were on, but there's no sign of them except that at like 3:00 in the morning, I had the camera filming me laying in the bed, a clock laying at the near the foot of the bed that's still in the picture, and then a large mirror showing the camera. And at one point during that week, a light for a very short amount of time, a light came out of the camera and flashed at the mirror. Then at another time, everything just froze and the picture would jerk diagonally about a quarter to a half of an inch. Boom, 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 boom. And it would stay stayed that way for like 15 minutes. Then it was all back to normal. Then another time it jerked to the side. And while that was going on, the clock didn't move.
And you were witness to this. You're seeing this happen. The perception of it is real to you.
Well, I saw it afterwards in the film.
Oh, in the film. Okay.
Yeah, I was asleep.
Have they ever, when they've taken you, have they taken you to other time eras, or is it always just in current time? Right now, it's just taking you somewhere to do something.
As far as I know, it's all just now, what I remember. There's 1955, I remember, the time in my room in the 80s, I remember. Then that was also the time period that I went into the light. The 2009 and then 2015 or 2014, whichever it was.
And what, I'm sorry, your voice kind of cut out there. I think we lost part of your conversation. So I'd asked if they'd ever taken you to other time eras. Do you believe that
No.
You did, or no, it was just always in concurrent time?
One time while meditating before, and this was in the 70s, 76 or 77, I was suddenly, instead of meditating, I was in a stone hut, and I was dressed in skins, and I was female, and I was waiting for my mate to come back, and he was apparently somebody very important in the tribe, and I was there for just a brief minute or two, and then it was gone. But I don't know if they did it or if somehow I did it.
Maybe Maybe they were just masking the anal probe by putting a memory that might be a little bit more suitable for you.
You might be right.
Right? You know, they're like, yeah, this isn't going to go well. Let's let him at least think that he was a female caveman and that this is his mate. Maybe this will make the job a little easier for the both of us.
Oh, God.
I try not to make light. I'm wondering, you know, you're curious because you hear that a lot of these times these moments are really veiled memories. You have a memory of this or that, but it turns out it was something entirely different because they were trying to keep you from being aware of what was going on.
Right.
All right, cool. That's fascinating stuff. And here you are, you're abducted all these years from the age of five on. Is this something that continues today, Byron? Are you still being taken places?
Yes. Well, I'm still being marked. The last time that they did anything other than just mark me and leave was in November. This was the last time that they have saved my life, the most recent event. And it was very dramatic. And it amazes me that I wasn't afraid during any of it, but I was driving home and I was on Highway 59, which has a 75 mile an hour speed limit. And it was at 6:01 when I'm getting ready to pass this truck. And he pulls into my lane and passes a car in front of him. Of course, he put on his blinkers and I let him because we had plenty of time, although I wanted to get home quickly. In fact, I'm going to step backwards a minute. As I was passing a road that shoots off at an angle from where I was, but goes up to the highway that I was heading for, the 75-mile-an-hour highway, only further down, much further down, in fact, past where this thing happened. And something made me want to go there, and I'm going, I don't like that road. I never drive on that road. It's rough. The speed limit is 35 miles an hour. I want to get home in a hurry. So I drove onto the highway, got on the highway. This guy passes this car, and then I pass the car, and I'm halfway down his truck, and we are moving up a hill, a small hill, and we're almost at the crest. I'm passing his truck. I'm halfway down the length of the entire truck, and I realize out of my peripheral vision that he is pulling into my lane. And I'm going, you know I'm here. What are you doing? But I don't argue with him, of course, because I can't talk to him. So I pull into the turn lane in the center of the highway. And he starts coming into that lane. And I'm going, if I slam on my brakes now, he's going to hit me with the back of his truck. My car is fast. So I smash the gas pedal, and I'm going like 77 or 78 miles an hour. We crest the hill and go over it. And then ahead of me, I go, oh crap, what is that? What is that? Ah, it's a truck. There was a flatbed truck across all five lanes. And that's why he was coming into my lane. He was higher up and saw it before I did. But at this point, he's not coming into my lane anymore. And I think we both slammed on our brakes at the same time. Now, we're only 45 feet from this truck, and I'm going 77 miles an hour. And I don't seem to be slowing down very much. And I sort of raise my butt up off the seat to put all of my weight on the brake pedal. And, of course, it's got anti-lock brakes, which I realized later was a good thing. And they go on and off, and on and off, and on and off. And I'm about 20 to 25 feet from the truck when the guy next to me in the right, the guy in the truck I was trying to pass, smashes into it. And these boards, it was very odd. It was like I had all the time in the world, and I could see everything. But I didn't. This all happened in seconds. These boards come off of the parked trailer and fly in front of me. Parts of his fender and his light fly in front of my car. And I'm looked down, and I'm still going 60 miles an hour, and I'm 20 feet from this. And I'm going, I'm just not slowing down fast enough. I said, are you guys actually going to let me die this time? And the car slid down, slowed down to zero in 15 feet because I was 5 feet from the truck.
Yikes. So you call out to your alien friends and they saved your ass. That's pretty remarkable.
See, I think they were going to anyway. I had been feeling like they'd abandoned me for about 2 or 3 weeks because I hadn't found any marks, nothing. And I thought, well, God, they just left. And they're sort of my insurance policy. So I didn't like the thought that they might be gone. Well, they showed me they were still there, but I don't think they caused the wreck.
Well, yeah, wouldn't it be easier if they just sent you a card, hey, we're still around?
Yeah.
That would be much better than making you feel like your life is about to end.
But, you know, what all this means, even more importantly, is they knew, they had to know ahead of time that this was going to happen. They knew when they tried to get me to take the other road. They weren't very insistent. They probably wanted me to go through this, and then they would show me that they were there about saving me. But there have been several other times they've saved my life instantly. How? I accept they know my future, and they know my past, and they know my present. And I've read that from other people, too. But I began to understand that it is true.
What do you believe is the real purpose for them touching base with you and making your life so important to them? Why you, Byron? And I'm not trying to shoot down that you're not important, but, you know, it's just people want to know why him, not me. There are a lot of people that want the experiences you're having. They want to have that interaction with aliens. Why Byron Lacy?
Because I'm one of them. They check in on us. They reassure us that they're still there, that we're not just hanging out in nowhere land.
All right, so that's just it. They're watching out for their own.
Mm-hmm.
Are they dealing with regular humans as well, or is it only really the hybrids? If you're being abducted and you're being visited, is it because you're one of them?
Now, some people don't have a good time with aliens at all. They have horrible experiences. They're sick a lot. And some of their illnesses, like rheumatoid arthritis, can be caused by radiation, by being exposed to radiation. And researchers believe, from everyone that's reported everything, that 1 out of 4 people are abducted. It could be more than that, because there are people that are abducted that never say a word to anybody. So I think they take their own kind. And I'm not just the only one. In fact, from some of the information that they gave me, I've realized that some of the worst people in the world, especially bankers, big bankers that we don't see, that don't loan us money, they were
sorry,
from
my buddy Eric got, probably just cringed when he heard that comment because he's a big banker. But no, I get you.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, the people that are milking the whole world for money and paying off our government and all that. They got swept up in materiality and power. And that's one thing. When they said they were proud of me, it was because that I haven't gone that direction.
All right. Well, that's cool. You know, with this, should humans want to communicate? Should they try to communicate with these beings, or do you think that could elicit a negative reaction because they're not of the same species? What did you think?
I don't think it would be negative. They might have weird things happen. They may not be able to reach them at all. You don't have to. You can think at them, or I do, but I've got an implant, and it's barely working right now.
Hmm. Are the
my ears are
go ahead
are quieter? My ears are quieter right now than they've been in months.
Is this something that you think in the long run, when your time comes, are they going to take you aboard and take you away, or will you just age and waste away and die like a human?
I'll probably age and get close to wasting away, but I will, even my horoscope says that I will know when I'm going to die ahead of time.
Ooh, that's a heady cross to bear. Do you like that idea? Do you like knowing that you'll know when and how?
Yes. And I liked it before I knew about the aliens. But basically, I will go back to where I was before I came here.
And that excites you?
Yes.
Do you think, given the chance, you'd want to reincarnate again into human life? Or do you think this is a one and done for you?
I don't know how to explain this very well, except my life really sucked. Most of my life, emotionally and intellectually, I had a neglectful, emotionally abusive penis. And emotional abuse through neglect. So neglect was the abuse of my father, a stern tyrant. And, but like I said, he was raised from people. Actually, he was raised from the generation before all of the parents of his friends or his contemporaries. So that, and until I was 19 or 20, I was sick a lot with nosebleeds and asthma and all this kind of stuff. And then that all went away. But I don't think I'd want to come back.
Yeah, I don't blame you. One is more than enough time. If you're from another planet and universe, it's a nice place to visit, but you don't know you want to live here too often, right?
Right. And the other place is wonderful.
Exactly. Hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us today, Byron. And what is your message to the people of Earth? And what do you hope people can glean from your story?
Well, if you're an abductee and you're upset, you're afraid, remember that your fear, you're afraid of the same things that I've experienced, unless, of course, you're one of the unlucky ones. And if you get rid of your fear, if you start trying to look at this with some kind of curiosity and try to find out what's going on, I decided to investigate my own experiences. And I had been an investigator, so I used some of the methods of just who, where, what, and why. Although I didn't give much why, but just try and find something positive in it if you can, and talk to them. Because if you talk to them, if you're an abductee, they hear you. So talk to them like I did, like I do all the time, like I do this morning, things like that.
All right, sounds good. Byron, thank you so much. We'll have a link up to your book at darknessradio.com, and we'll have a link to your website so they can check it out. Go to darknessradio.com, click on the Killer Deals link to find the book and all the great topics that we cover here on the show. That's it for another day. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got more coming your way with Black Eyed Kids, Creepy Stories, and our good friend David Weatherly, plus a brand new Theater of the Mind here on Beyond the Darkness.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's Black Bean Burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking, only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show Tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life